Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board today as we once again face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. I believe that we're in an era today, a time in society, an era in the globe in which we are on, and nation that we're living in, that is, at no other time we need to cling to the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We're watching events on a global basis that I tell people, just as I said to one person that called in this morning, we're watching God's Word leap off the pages in the realm of the news and the media today, and we're seeing God's hand at work in bringing about what He has said in His Word. I believe that the Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God that we need to look to when we're facing issues. When you're looking for answers, no better place than the answer book called the Bible. It's not a matter that it has some truth or bits and pieces of truth. It is the totality of truth. I find it antithetical to anything that's called biblical truth or integrity. When, as one preacher on the radio the other day, as I was driving and happened to hear, he said, a lot of people talk about preaching the Word, preaching the Word. He said, I don't think that it is the responsibility of the church or a pastor to try to teach the Word of God, to try to tell people what the Bible says. He says the main thing that preachers ought to be doing and churches ought to be doing is teaching people how to be closer to Jesus and how to know God better. Well, I screamed at my radio in the car, how do you know God better than through His Word? God's Word from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22 is God's revelation of Himself to man. So if you want to know God, you know God's Word. The more you know of God's Word, you know the more you know of God. And it's designed to cause us to draw closer to God and knowing Him better through His Word. And so I don't know of any better source book to go to than the Word of God. And when we talk about issues, we do so based on a biblical worldview. That is, what does God's Word say? In fact, Jesus taught His disciples, He said, if you continue in My Word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Notice in that John 8:31 and 32, if you continue in My Word, that is, constantly, consistently stay in the Word of God, then Jesus says that's an evidence that you're My disciple indeed. The word indeed simply means truly, absolutely. Jesus says the way that you are revealing yourself as being a true disciple of Me is by staying in My Word. And then He says, and then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus identifies that word truth in John 17:17 when He says, Thy Word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, that's what I want us to cling to as we think about the subject today, renouncing the prosperity gospel. We talked about just recently the deceit of the prosperity gospel, and I want to do a little follow-up on that by talking about renouncing the prosperity gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, one of my best critics is my bride. She has listened to me preach for over a half century, and I usually will say, what did you think about the message? And in this case, we talk about the broadcast, and I'll say, did you listen to the broadcast today? What did you think? And she said, well, what you said was good. It's right. but it just left some loose ends. I said, what do you mean it left some loose ends? She said, well, it might be that some of the listeners thought that what you were saying was that you were not agreeing with the biblical concept and the theological doctrinal philosophy and ideology and doctrine about tithing. And I said, well, we need to do not a replay, but I had finished the broadcast just yesterday, and I thought there's so much more that needs to be said. I usually have enough to speak for about 3 hours, and I have about an hour to do it, and so it leaves some things short. And so I said, okay, we need today simply to say renouncing the prosperity gospel, and that's what we're going to do today. I'm delighted to have with us Dr. Phelps. Dr. Neil Phelps is one of our Bible college and theology professors in the college and the university. In a moment after our monologue, we're going to be talking together about that subject, renouncing the prophecy, the prosperity doctrine or gospel, and we'll be dealing with what is tithing, what does the Bible say about tithing and giving, should we as Christians be tithers and givers? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to announce to you today that this portion of the broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape business or lawn care business. Also, Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries hurricane preparedness equipment, generators, etc. They carry hurricane cleanup equipment like chainsaws and other power equipment in that realm. They have a full staff of those that are well-trained, know and have a great deal of knowledge about how to answer your questions about all of the equipment that is sold at Tools for Time. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That is precisely at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. And if you want a benchmark, look up. Look at that 165-foot flagpole with a gigantic United States flag flowing in the wind. Old Glory standing over Tools for Time. So find Old Glory standing 165 foot up. Look at the base of that, and you'll find Tools for Time. Look them up, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Dr. Phelps, I am delighted that you're with me today on this broadcast. We're going to be talking about some very serious issues in relationship to the prosperity gospel and the flaws in it. But before we do that, ladies and gentlemen, I want to invite you to worship with us this Sunday. This Sunday, 9:30 is the Bible study hour, Sunday school hour, and 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. Then we have 10:45 a.m. and 7 p.m. worship services. If you're looking for a church where the gospel is proclaimed without fear and without favor, looking for a place where the gospel is proclaimed verse by verse and chapter by chapter, if you're looking for a church where you can call home and in your Bible study hour, the Sunday school time, where you can hear teachers that are teaching not from a little booklet that they just regurgitate after reading it on Saturday night, but where they're teaching directly from the Word of God, the Bible, where the Bible is open for our understanding and direction that we might hear and heed what God's Word says. If you're looking for a church where the music is that which pleases God, where you can hear the words and the words honor God, lift up Jesus Christ, some call it the old-time gospel in music, if that's what you're looking for, that's who we are at First Conservative Baptist Church. So I want to invite you to come this Sunday, 9:30 for the Bible study, 10:45 and 7 p.m., 10:45 a.m., and 7 p.m. for the worship services. Be delighted to have you. We're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. That's precisely exactly 1 mile south of I-295 on Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, as I mentioned a moment ago in a previous broadcast, we discussed the false, fake, phony, unbiblical prosperity gospel. Perhaps you say, well, that's pretty dogmatic. I mean for it to be. Because I don't know of anything else on the face of the globe that's any more onerous before God and that is so antithetical to the Word of God than the prosperity gospel that is preached today. As I've said before, the prosperity gospel is only successful in the United States of America. You can't find any third world country, any place around the globe where the prosperity gospel is effectual and is so, deceiving as it is in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, the prosperity gospel that has swept over our nation for the past several years. This prosperity gospel, which literally is, as the Apostle Paul called it, Dr. Phelps, in the Galatians text, it's another gospel. It's not the same gospel. It's a different gospel. It's another gospel. It's not the biblical gospel. It's the prosperity gospel. And ladies and gentlemen, the prosperity gospel is a gimmick that's used, as I've said down through the years, to fleece the flock. It's based on human greed. It's based on gravis. The sad thing is the mega churches today, as well as multitudes of smaller churches, as I call them, the mega church wannabes, they are following that prosperity gospel, and it's a way to gain and to benefit for themselves and not for the flock. Dr. Phelps, I've said that many times, as I've called it, the fleecing of the flock. It's where those that get wealthy are those that's preaching the prosperity gospel. The question must be asked, ladies and gentlemen, and begs to be answered, is these very simple, basic questions. Why do we worship? Why do we go to church? Why do we give? Why are we, as Christians, to give tithes and offerings? Jesus spoke about the churches, the seven churches of Asia Minor that's found in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, the seven churches of the book of the Revelation. He spoke to the church at Sardis in Revelation 3, verses 1 and following. And God's word says there that the church at Sardis looked alive, but Jesus said, you're dead. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you might ask the question, how can you look alive and be dead? Let me give you a little illustration of that. Several years ago, in fact, it's been 20, 25 years ago, the real event took place. A driver going north on 75, south of Atlanta, the car overturned off the embankment. He was ejected from the automobile. The first driver that pulled up and saw the accident saw that he had been the body had been totally beheaded, and the body was still contorting and twisting and turning. The body did not realize without the head, the body was dead. That body, though it was moving, was dead. And the same is true with what Jesus is talking about the church at Sardis. It's moving. The church at Sardis was one that was thriving. It was moving. It was growing. It had numbers. It had a show of, how would you say, life. Perhaps if you put it in the young blood vernacular, they had the snow trips planned. They had the ski trips planned. They had the beach excursions planned, and they were always going and moving and doing. But Jesus said, spiritually speaking, you are dead. Dr. Phelps, I don't know of any other illustration that would better illustrate the fact that we have in our prosperity gospel movement today multitudes of these gigantic churches that look alive, but spiritually Jesus would say, you are dead. And ladies and gentlemen, just recently, the guru of the prosperity gospel movement, none other than Benny Hinn himself, renounced his teachings. He even stated that the prosperity gospel makes the Holy Spirit sick. In fact, let me just share with you that article. I'll not take time, don't have time to give you the totality of it. The article is dated September the 5th, 2019. The gospel is not for sale. Is Benny Hinn abandoning the prosperity gospel? The article says, Benny Hinn, 66, is an Israeli televangelist with one of the most notorious proponents of a profoundly destructive theology known as the prosperity gospel. A mainstay of his teaching is that if Christians have faith in Jesus Christ and obey the word of God, which usually involves donating substantial cash donations to his ministry, God promises good health, wealth, and happiness. Built on the financial backs of his supporters, who are promised material blessings if they contribute to him, Hinn's ministry has a notoriously lavish lifestyle, including two multi-million-dollar mansions, a personal chef, a fleet of Mercedes-Benz, things like a $4,000 a night suite at the hotel with layover flights, tipping the concierge and the bellman $2,000 each. Recently, however, Hinn made a stunning reversal of his charismatic show your love world, saying that today all you hear about is feel-good messages or how to build the flesh, which is all about feel good, do good, make money, he said. I'm certainly correcting my own theology, and you need to know it, he's speaking to his audience, noting that he saw the need to change a while ago. He explained that he has not yet gone public so as to avoid hurting friends who hold this view, he said. Now, however, he thinks, quote, it's an offense to the Holy Spirit to place pride and price on the gospel, end quote. Quote, Benny Hinn says, I'm doing it. I'll never again ask you to give thousands of whatever or whatever amount, because I think that the Holy Ghost is just fed up with the prosperity gospel. I think that hurts the gospel, end quote. Further, he said, no longer he cares about what people think of him and recognizes his own, he now won't get invited places. He says, if I hear one more time, break the back of debt with $1,000, I'm going to rebuke them. I think that's buying the gospel. That's buying a blessing. That's grieving the Holy Spirit, end quote. He goes on to say, those who should go should do so simply because they love Jesus, or they shouldn't give at all. Dr. Phelps, that's a pretty good statement. Should give because you love Jesus, or don't give at all. Yes. He says, I think giving has become such a gimmick that it makes me sick to my stomach. This is Benny Hinn speaking, ladies and gentlemen. The granddaddy of all granddaddies, the guru of all gurus of the prosperity gospel. He says, I think it's time that we say it like it is. The gospel is not for sale, and the blessings of God are not for sale, and miracles are not for sale, and prosperity is not for sale. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a pretty definitive statement, and the article is lengthy, but I think that suffices to let us understand Benny Hinn's announcing that he is saying that the false gospel, the fake theology, if you wonder about who is moving that and shaking that, I'm wondering, Dr. Phelps, how many other preachers that are preaching and teaching the fake, phony, false prosperity gospel will have the backbone to follow what Benny Hinn has said. I wonder how many of them will have a feeling of guilt when they stand and preach that, like Kenneth Copeland and others, T.D. Jakes and others, Joel Osteen and others, when they stand and preach that fake, phony, false prosperity gospel. We have those false teachers like Joel Osteen and Kenneth Copeland and T.D. Jakes and others. I'm wondering if they're going to follow his renunciation of that position, or if they're going to keep on sticking to what is false and phony and literally is not biblical at all. In fact, here's another article. I won't take time to read it. It says, Benny Hinn renounces his selling of God's blessings. Critics want more. The critics are asking, will he do that and then go back on his word? Here's one of the statements in that. I think giving has become such a gimmick. It makes me sick to my stomach, and I've been sick for a while. He goes on to say that he simply is not going to continue. He said, I'm correcting my own theology. The blessings of God are not for sale. The miracles of God are not for sale. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a pretty lengthy article written by a critic, if you will, of the prosperity gospel, as it should be. And the title of the article says, Fabulous Wealthy Televangelist Fraud, Benny Hinn, dramatically renounces the prosperity gospel. But is he keeping all of the millions that he made from the preaching of lies and deceiving the people? The lead paragraph on this article, ladies and gentlemen, says, declaring that the Holy Ghost is just fed up with it, controversial televangelist Benny Hinn, formerly one of the most aggressive proponents of the prosperity gospel, has for the first time in his entire career delivered a full-throated rejection of the prosperity gospel that made him and his family mega millions. And this particular writer has this statement. To me, there's no greater illustration of what Jesus meant when he prophesied about the last days church being lukewarm and full of wealth than the charismatic movement. And in that movement, to me, there's no greater example of a fake, phony, false teacher and preacher, con artist, than Benny Hinn. After a lifetime of fleecing his followers out of hundreds of millions of dollars, Benny Hinn has now officially renounced the prosperity gospel. And then he goes on to quote in his article, and it's a very apropos verse or text. He quotes from 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. And this sets the stage for where we're going in this dialogue and discussion today, ladies and gentlemen. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious, the word pernicious, ladies and gentlemen, means false, phony, mythological ways, by reason of whom the way of truth, speaking of Christianity, shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned, that is, plastos in the Greek text, false phony words, make merchandise of you, that is, wanting your money, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. Ladies and gentlemen, that is where we are today in relationship to this false, phony gospel called the prosperity gospel. Dr. Phelps, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the false gospel called the prosperity gospel. We talked about it recently on a broadcast. We called it the deceit of the prosperity gospel. We're talking about it today on the subject of renouncing the prosperity gospel. And that's what we see taking place through Benny Hinn. Dr. Phelps, let me ask you a question very succinctly. All that we're talking about in relationship to the prosperity gospel and the false phony claims that if you give, you're going to be wealthy, you're going to be healthy, you're going to be happy, you're going to have all that the world has to offer. Is that what tithing is about? How should we view tithing? Should we view tithing as a manner of getting from God or gaining from God or being greedy about what God is doing? Explain to our listeners today, Dr. Phelps, the subject of biblical tithing. What does the word tithing mean? And what does it say, Old Testament and New Testament? Some say that tithing is under the law and therefore tithing is not required of the believers today. And some say that, well, you can give 1% or 2% or 5%. Is that what tithing is about, Dr. Phelps?
Dr. Youngblood, the first thing I would like to suggest is that those who preach the prosperity gospel need to keep in mind that the Bible tells us every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We're going to have to give account of the work we have done. According to 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give account of the things we have done in the body, whether it be good or bad. And I believe the Bible teaches us that we're responsible before God in every area of life.
Yes.
And so, first of all, I'd like to suggest that the Bible teaches us that we should be ready to give. And it's called the tithe. What is the tithe? A tithe is the first tenth of a person's income. $1 out of $10. According to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible tells us, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And one of the things that I have decided is, for me, the tithe is the money that I may offer to God of what he has entrusted to me in stewardship.
Absolutely.
And so when we think of the tithe, it is one-tenth or 10% of our income, of our total income, of how the Lord has prospered us. And the word prosper is used in the Bible in connection with giving, so that we'll be giving proportionately.
When it talks about prosper, in fact, Dr. Phelps, if I can just read in 3 John 1 and 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. Dr. Phelps, where that 3 John 2 in particular says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. That's one of the, I believe, one of the most misunderstood, misinterpreted texts. In fact, I've heard televangelists and radio preachers use that verse and that phrase, Robert Tilton being one of them, and Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin in his lifetime, T.D. Jakes and others have used that text to fleece the flock and to preach the prosperity gospel. Is that what John is talking about there in 3 John?
No, sir. I believe he was talking about how that God's blessings can be upon your life or mine. We need to be thankful every day for life and breath and health and healing. And that all comes from God.
That's right.
God is a great giver.
Absolutely.
And we need to be thankful unto Him.
Yes. And as I explained that text, Dr. Phelps, to our listening audience, for them to understand, you don't have to understand and recognize the Hebrew word, I mean, the Greek of the Hebrew words, Greek in the New Testament, Hebrew of the Old Testament. The word there, prosper, and is literally the word EU dash HODOS, hodos. They're simply talking about good, and hodos, journey. So God's word is saying that I wish above all things, here's John saying, that you have a good journey, a good road in seeing the word. It is not something about a guarantee of wealth. It's not talking about financial gain. It's not talking about financial prosperity. It's not talking about the prosperity gospel. It is just saying, I wish above all things that you have a good journey. That is your journey in Jesus Christ, your journey in serving the Lord, and be in good health. And that's the simplistics of that text.
Yes.
And yet we have so many people today using that and twisting it. It says one writer calls it the twisting of Scripture. In fact, a book called The Agony of Deceit, talking about the subtitle, What Some TV Preachers Are Really Teaching. It's a book written by Michael Horton as the general editor and with several other writers in it. And he talks about Scripture twisting, of taking Scripture out of context. So, Dr. Phelps, even if it says that having a good journey, that is prosperity, in 3 John, and many of them even go back to the text in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, 7, 8, and 9, where God is telling Joshua, if you stick to the word, stay in the word, you don't go to the left, you don't go to the right, but continue in my word, then you're going to have great success. Then you're going to be prosperous. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the same thing. Having a good journey is what God is saying. A good journey. And you studied the life of Joshua. You studied the book of Joshua and see if that was not fulfilled. Did he have a good journey? Was he faithful in serving the Lord? Was it a good journey in his commitment to God? Yes, absolutely. But it is not talking about some gimmickry, as the televangelists and the false preachers, Dr. Phelps, say today about getting wealth. Talk with us further, Dr. Phelps, about what the Scripture really says about tithing, and why should we tithe? What is tithing, and why should we tithe?
First of all, tithing is in the New Testament. It's found in a time before the law, and it's found in the New Testament after the law.
Yes.
According to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, we read, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. And we believe that word store is like that found in Malachi, same idea, that we bring it to a place where God has designated as a storehouse. The word store, then in 1 Corinthians 16, 2, is the same idea. Upon the first day of the week. Now, we think of that as Sunday.
The Lord's Day.
And look
yes.
at your calendar. That's Sunday. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. And so we believe that tithing then is something that's found and is to be applied to our worship and our serving of God in our New Testament times. We believe the Lord wants us to be involved in tithing today. And so we believe that we should bring our tithes to the Lord. Now, many people are mistakenly told that they need to send their tithe to the televangelist or to the TV
Dr.
preacher.
Dr. Phelps, when somebody tells me they're sending their tithe to the televangelist or a TV preacher, I say, when you die, get your wife to call him to bury you. Don't call your local church.
Yeah. It's really a vote in favor of closing the local church.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have about a 1-minute break for the news. Be right back with you. Don't turn that dial. Stay tuned. Be right back with the balance of Let's Face the Issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.